Hi, this is Richard Garfield with The Game Glimpse. Each week, I'm going to bring you a game that I've been thinking about. I'll tell you what interests me in the game, and maybe you'll be motivated to try it. If you've already tried it, maybe it'll give you stuff to think about, or just disagree with. Today I'm going to talk about Word on the Street, a game designed by Jack Degnan and published by Out of the Box, which are the folks that brought us to Apples to Apples, a wonderful and original party game. I first saw Word on the Street at Gen Con 2 years ago. I was impressed enough by it that I came back and looked in my local game stores for it and failed to find it and told them to keep an eye out for it, and they never found it and they couldn't find any record of it. So I was happy to find it in the stores a couple months ago. I have no idea why it took that long to come out. Perhaps the game had development that I didn't realize was taking place. And also sometimes just companies have their dockets full and schedule games long, long in advance, although I don't understand why they were demonstrating it at Gen Con 2 years ago if that were the case. Maybe they were just getting player feedback. Word on the Street is, as the title would suggest, a word game, and it is also a party game. It claims to handle 2 to 10 players. That seems reasonable to me. It's going to be at its best probably with 4 or more players. You divide the players up into 2 teams and sit opposite a board which has a bunch of letter tiles laid out. Most of the alphabet is there, and none of the vowels. The hard letters are also gone, J and X and Z, for example. On a team's turn, a very fast timer is set. It's maybe a 30-second timer. A card is flipped up, which has a category, like the name of a street or a country name or a color, and the team decides on a single member of that category. So, for instance, with a street name, they might choose Main Street, or for a country name, they might choose China. Once they've decided a word, they pull the tiles that correspond to the letters of that word closer to their side of the street. The street is 5 steps across with the tiles beginning in the center. So, for instance, if my word was China, I would pull the C towards me, then the H towards me. There is no I because there are no vowels. Then the N towards me. The goal of the game is to capture 8 tiles, that is, pull them off your side. You might consider it a tug of war with 17 little competitions, the 17 letters that are included in the game. And that's pretty much it. Teams alternate coming up with words. The words pull the letters closer to their side of the board, and if they're fortunate, capture the letters. The first team to get to 8 letters wins. Some players are intimidated by word games, and so making a party game out of one is sometimes risky business. By making it a collaborative team effort, it really helps that. You don't have much time to come up with a word, and so while one person might be far better at word games than the others, having more people calling out potential words is always useful, and so there's a good chance that most of the team will contribute over the course of the game. One of the really interesting parts of the game, which you might not anticipate at first, is that the value of the words change as the game unfolds. So at the beginning, words like goggles are terrific because they have 3 G's. They can capture that. The word goggle can capture a G immediately, and getting it off the table is great. But later on, for instance, after you've used the word goggle's useless. Well, it gets you an L. And so as letters are captured, they become much less interesting. And so at the beginning of the game, people are throwing out these long words and trying to get as many consonants as possible in their words. But towards the end, if they continue just using that strategy of throwing out long words, it's amusing that sometimes they'll throw out this enormous word and be able to pull a single tile towards them, or maybe even no tiles at all. This is more likely than you might suspect because the long words that leap to mind tend to have common letters in them, and the common letters are the ones that are captured. It is delightful when a surprisingly small word turns out to be the better word. For example, if you're coming up with animals and you're talking about doing wildebeest or springbok, and it turns out the dog is a better answer. To see how extreme this effect can be, Consider that at the end of a close game where each team has captured 7 tiles, there's only 3 tiles left, which means that only 3 consonants are relevant at all. So the teams can run through lots of words and not be able to move any of the remaining consonants. With games where you have to find members of a category, there's always the possibility of disputes, what counts as a legitimate member of that category. Since there's no final arbiter for that, there's a certain level of casualness which has to be used in a game like this. For example, what counts as a color? What is your group going to accept? Will they accept honeydew or tomato? Or you can go down the list of Crayola colors. There's some really wacky ones there. How about Purple Mountain's Majesty or Timberwolf? Certain groups will probably be very liberal in what they accept as a color. There's Tumbleweed. How's that for a good color? And other groups will be stricter and just go with the more basic colors. Groups will find their own level of precision for what counts as a word in a category, but there's nothing like a final reference that you find in a game like Scrabble, where before the game you pick a dictionary or more than one dictionary and use that as the final arbiter. There's nothing like that here. We play with a slight variation off the regular rules. The rules say that you can't use answers that are multiple words. We have started allowing multiple word answers because so many of the answers we give seem natural, like a villain being Lex Luthor or an exercise being jumping jacks. And then we allow players to score one of those words. I'm not sure if this will work in the long run for serious groups because it does seem like it might be abusable. For example, the earlier ridiculous color I gave, Purple Mountain's Majesty, under our rules, if you were accepting Crayola colors, you'd have to accept and then allow them to score, for example, Majesty. On the other hand, there doesn't seem anything wrong with allowing them to score Jumping or Jacks. Well, I suppose Jumping is legitimately an exercise on its own. Jacks is a little weird. And now it's time for the kids' turn. Do you like word games?
Nope, not really, but this one's good.
Were there any words you came up with you're proud of?
Marijuana.
I didn't even know what marijuana was when I was your age.
Sucks for you.
Can you even spell marijuana?
M-A-R-J-O-N-N-A. No idea.
Oh, that's good. I'm proud of you. Can you name a superhero?
Yeah. The Hulk.
Is that a good answer?
No.
Why not?
Because you want to get words that are really long. You don't want to have a lot of vowels.
Okay, then. What's a good superhero?
Superman.
Superman. S-P-R-M-N. That's not too bad.
Thank you.
What about a reason to get married?
Money.
Really? That came to mind pretty quickly. Something that smells bad.
Skylar.
Wow, that's pretty good. S-C-H-Y-L-R. Yeah, that's a lot of tiles.
Thank you. Terry!
And that's it. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Game Glimpse. Feel free to leave any comments you have. If you want to suggest any games, you can do that too. Maybe your game will be the next one I glimpse.
I enjoyed thinking.
Oh, you liked thinking.
No.